You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome back to Tentail Places, a theater podcast. My name is Aaliyah Gardner. And before we get into our conversation for today, I just wanted to do a quick preface. This is strictly an open conversation between me and a very good colleague of mine about our personal experiences as Black people in the theater community. So if you are interested in supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, which I really recommend that you should be, there will be resources linked in our description for you guys to check out some different resources to support the Black Lives Matter movement. But without further ado, let's jump into our conversation, Performing While Black. Okay, welcome back. I am sitting down with local actor Joseph Fagan, my very first guest. Woo! Hello, Mr. Joseph. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great.
You're feeling great. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And before we jump into our conversation for today, I just wanted to chat about you and basically tell everybody about yourself. How do you know me? What do you do? You know, the huge.
Okay, so I was born in Georgia. Was part of a military family, so we moved around a lot. How I met Aaliyah in high school. Mm-hmm. We both went to the same high school for
shout out Westport.
My final 3 years, yeah.
Woo.
Westport. And then what I do? I work at a children's gym. So that's pretty fun. I get to spend my days with children, so that's fun. And I think that's really it.
Yeah. What do you do for fun?
What I do for fun? I like to play games. I like to sing. And whenever Sky Zone is open, I like trampolines, so I like going to Sky Zone sometimes. But yeah.
Cool. Nice. Just as an actor as well, so...
Yeah.
He is pretty active in the community, or he's trying to, because he just recently got to Virginia not too long ago, but he has been in productions like Rent, a little show that I'm sure none of you guys have heard of before. He was Roger in Rent, and I had the pleasure of being able to see it, and he did incredible. He was Tauntaun Julian in a production of Once on This Island back at our high school. The Mousetrap. What was your character's name?
Christopher Wren.
Christopher Wren, yes. In The Mousetrap.
Very oddball guy.
So, yes. And he's been kind of out and about doing miscellaneous shows and cabarets and stuff. He's sung with me before. I've been very grateful. but yes, he's a great actor and everything, and I thought that he was a perfect candidate to chat about what's been going on in the community and in the world, quite frankly, because of course, if you've been living under a rock, there's been a lot of issues with the police and people of color lately. Well, not lately, you already know this as well, but just a lot of police brutality towards people of color and racial injustice has been really prominent in the news lately. And it's always been around, but it's because of course, George Floyd's death, as I'm sure you guys all know about. He was murdered by a police officer because the police officer was arresting him and kneeling on his neck for about 8 minutes, and he died because of suffocation. So, needless to say, the conversation has been opened for a lot of people who haven't necessarily been speaking out about the injustices against Black people, but a lot of people don't necessarily know this as well, but it's not only in the community, but in the theater community as well. It's very prominent in the theater community, so I wanted to go ahead and jump into the conversation about our personal experiences in the community. Is there anything in particular that you'd like to share about like what you've been through in the community or your personal experience?
I'm trying to think. I haven't had a lot of terrible experiences being a Black person in theater, but I've had situations where I'll have friends who are auditioning for shows and they don't want to because the characters seem like there should be white people, and that friend is a Black person, so they don't think they should audition. And even with being Roger, my director would always tell me, like, we have to make you so good, so likable, so that when people see you and they're like, oh, he's a Black Roger, it will like go away. When they're like, wow, he's talented.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. So it was like, she made it very, because my director's Black, so she knew of like what would happen with me being Roger. Mm-hmm. So that was that.
Wow.
And then I think that's really it.
I mean, yeah, I don't really think that there's really been, I mean, don't get me wrong, I haven't really seen very many productions or photos of productions of Rent before, but I really don't
know. There's a type.
No, there's a very particular type, like, white guy, tall, skinny, scraggly hair, rock star voice. Like, yeah. It's very, and then here comes Joseph, one of the best singers in the show, who just happens to be a Black person, and he was pretty much the ideal candidate for the show, so I mean, That's crazy, though. I didn't even think about that. Because I don't know if there's been any, like, Black people who've played Roger before. Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
I know for my director, she was in Rent, like, way before. I don't know when, but I think their Mark was Black. And he got a lot of backlash from that community.
Oh,
like,
really?
Oh my gosh, a Black Mark, that's like and like they had to have conversations, like that cast or those directors with him, like, do you still want to do the show, like, how do you feel about it? And he would always be like, yeah, sure.
Wow.
So yeah, thankfully I don't think people really thought negatively of me being Roger, that I know of, so and most people seem to enjoy it, so
yeah, which is great, because I mean, we'll chat about this a little bit further on in our conversation, but I think it's important to just let your talent speak for itself rather than, like, you walking out on stage and people saying, like, ooh, like, what? Like,
yeah.
He's, or seeing your headshot, if there were headshots in the program, I don't remember, but, like, seeing your picture, say, ooh, like, what? What's that?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, luckily you haven't had any, like, serious issues with being a person of color in the community or anything, but I know personally it started for me in elementary school, because you already know this, but I was obsessed with Cinderella, loved Cinderella, wanted to be Cinderella, and there was a point in one of my classes where I said, yeah, I can't wait to audition for Disney World because I want to be Cinderella. And of course, well, Disney World, they weren't trying to shoot me down. It was really just them being kids. They didn't know. Disney World, of course, you have to look like the character, period. I could be a very great Tiana, but for Disney World, it's very specific. I have a very good rebuttal for this a little bit later, but it was very particular. Like, you have to look a certain way to be the princess. You have to be look like the princess, look like a cartoon character, mm-hmm. basically. And of course, when I said that, a lot of my friends said, no, you can't do that because your skin is brown, or you like Cinderella, like that's crazy. Mm-hmm. There's no princesses. Maybe you could be Princess Jasmine, because at the time there was no Princess Tiana. There was no black princess. So and I mean, it ended up moving into high school when I was in my theater class and everything, and I was the only black girl in the class, of course, a very active black person in the theater club or whatever you want to call it in school. But when I first auditioned for our, what do you call it, like our district showcase or our district competition.
Let's do this black song.
Exactly.
Black song.
Exactly. So I sang my song. I sang Gorgeous from The Apple Tree, if anybody knows that song. But it's Kristen Chenoweth sang that song. And it's a very, like, soprano song. And, yeah. And I think I did it to the best of my ability as a freshman can. But and almost immediately afterwards, my class applauded me and they said, wow, I love your voice. I can't wait to hear you sing songs like I'm Here from The Color Purple, or any other song that's originally sung by a black person. Mm-hmm. And immediately I thought, did you not just hear my voice? I'm a soprano. I was raised in the suburbs. I was brought up singing a certain way. Some people are brought up with very soulful voices, and that just was not me. It just isn't me, period. So of course, like, in the moment, I didn't want to offend anybody or immediately shut them down. Like, I kind of just say, oh, like, thanks. I'll look into it. Mm-hmm. Listen to the song for the first time. I said, hell no, I'm not singing this song. Are you kidding? But not just I'm Here, but like whatever other songs that they were suggesting. And then it trickled into my senior year. Of course, it would come in pieces here and there throughout my high school career. But it was very prominent in my senior year when I was auditioning again for, I was getting ready to audition again for the district competition, and my teacher, no offense to her, that I love her very much, but she recommended Random Black Girl from, what's the show called? Homemade Fusion. It's like, if I'm not mistaken, the show is kind of like a Songs for a New World type of show, like kind of just like songs, but like they all come together or whatever. I'm not super familiar with the show, but I did sing the song, and to be honest, I really put on a happy face throughout the whole audition process because I was incredibly uncomfortable the whole time. I hated it. I hated everything about me singing the song. The song was a great song. It was very funny, but it just wasn't me. I wanted to sing, I don't know if you've heard the song, but what's the song? A song from Edges, pretty similar. One of those like song cycle shows. But I wanted to sing a song from Edges, and it was a really funny song, and it was really good, and I had it. And I think it wasn't my teacher, but it was a colleague who was like, oh, well, that song is sung a lot or whatever. You should sing this song. And of course, I said, OK. But I ended up getting an excellent on it, which is, I don't know, I guess like, OK. Critics' Choice is the highest that you can get, which is basically like you will be representing your troupe at the state competition. But I mean, excellent is fine, but I think that they could tell, I don't know, that I was just, you know, just kind of getting through it.
I luckily did not go through that experience in high school.
Good for you.
Because no one knew I could sing until my senior year of high school, because I couldn't sing until my senior year of high school.
Oh my, could you imagine?
To emphasize that point.
Yeah, could you imagine if they knew that you were like a singer, or if you were as good, because you didn't come out of the womb singing high notes. That's just not it. You had to work for the voice that you have now. But can you imagine if you were singing the way that you're singing now in like your junior year? Like the songs that they would be pressing you to sing. Yeah,
that'd be crazy.
Oh my gosh.
But it's weird. It's really funny because like even like with my friend group at the time in high school, for me it was never really like a oh, you should sing like what's Run and Tell That from Hairspray.
Run and Tell That.
Or it was always like a, just a random one. It was Songs Are Too High. I was like, I can never sing
tenor
this. Like,
songs.
Yeah, like some song from Hades Town, and that guy's like all falsetto voice, and I was like, I was like, I don't know who you think I am, but I'm not singing that one.
That's funny.
But the thing for me more was because people would, at least people I was really close with, would hear me like practice certain songs or practice certain like whatever. But it would be like, for me at least, it would be like, oh, we know Joseph can like act this way. Or I wasn't I'm not a very angry person. So it was like, a good example is I would just talk about like the show Normal Heart. And be like, I think I could be really good as, I think his name is Ned.
The guy who does that monologue that you like a lot.
And I was like, wow, I think I can do really good at him. But it was like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like, it was just like a, I don't know if he can do that role.
Immediately apprehensive for like no reason.
Or I'd be like, oh, I feel like I can do, Bear is a show that I'm obsessed with. And Peter, I believe is his name.
Sings Role of a Lifetime.
I've always been like, oh yeah, I would do really good as Peter. And it was like, I don't think you can. Like, maybe you would be good as like Jason or Matt. I don't know. And I'd be like, okay, thanks.
It's not even, this is why it's so important that this movement is happening, because at this point it's just really important to educate people who are not people of color, different way, like microaggressions, that that's a just little things here and there. Even if you're not point, like, I hate black people, you are still being racist. And now a racist, calling somebody a racist is a very bold statement and bold thing to say, because like that's a very big allegation that you're putting against them. But you are racist if you do not think that this black person can sing this song or be this actor or be this character or whatever. Which brings me into my next point, all of these performers that I highly recommend people looking into, because they really kind of paved the way for performers. And I could sit here and talk about like our Haley Kilgore and our Jelani Aladdin, if that's how you say his name, or I could talk about them all day, but these are kind of lesser known individuals that I would love to chat about. So Joseph, feel free to jump into your first person.
One of my idols is a wonderful, wonderful woman by the name of Cynthia Erivo. And if you have never heard her sing or watched her perform,
the disrespect,
you're really doing a disservice to yourself, like for real. I kind of a backstory of how I like discovered Cynthia Erivo. So there's this movie called Beyond the Lights, which is a movie about a love story between two black people.
That's awesome.
So that's a good movie to check out. It's a really good movie. She made this song, or wrote this song for like the end of the movie, that's called Fly Before You Fall. And I heard that song in middle school, I believe. And I was like, wow, this song's amazing, without like knowing like who she was. And I was just like, wow, that's so great. And then like forgot about her, forgot about the movie really. I was just like, okay. And then I was in high school, like my senior year of high school. I had a lot of library periods, so I was in the directing class that they had. And the teacher used to do like this like Broadway Wednesday thing.
So cute.
Yeah, so
what teacher?
Miss Singley.
Oh.
So she would show like random, like, oh wow, look, we're gonna watch this person perform this.
That's
today.
So cool.
It was like a small portion of the class, so it was pretty cool. But I heard Cynthia Erivo at the Oscars, I think, doing just like stuff from, you know, they do like little bits and pieces from their show.
Yeah.
But I heard her sing, and I was like, whoa, she's great. And I think I was like upset about something that day or that in that class. And I just like all melted. I was like, oh my gosh, like mm-hmm. I have to like look this woman up. So then I went into a hole on YouTube and looked up, you know, everything I could about her and was just like, wow, she's just phenomenal. Like, she's so great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you have never heard of her, please look her up. She may change your life.
She has this... stage presence.
Yeah, she has this power to... I don't know how to describe it. It's like... whatever character that she's putting on or the emotions that she's trying to portray, you feel it. Mm-hmm. Like, and you understand it and you, like, you can see the whole thought process and everything that's going on with her. But she does her homework. She does, mm-hmm. like, I was listening or watching this masterclass that she was doing. And she will do small details as, like, does my character like listening to music? Or does my character not like listening to music? Mm-hmm. Like, things that minute that most people wouldn't think, like, mm-hmm. oh, does my character like music? I don't know.
If they do, what kind of music do they listen to?
Exactly, like, that much character work she puts into, like, everything she does, which makes her great.
Yeah, so. I love people like that. We got to see her perform, yes, which is, like, incredible, in Denver, Colorado, and she blew the lid off of the place.
Had to take her shoes off.
She was for real. I don't know if that girl was, like, prepared for that audience, but everybody was on their feet almost every single song.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, and we were so close to her. I feel like we could, like, feel the sweat dripping off of her. Like, yeah. that was incredible.
I feel like she could have looked at me at some point.
She probably did. Honestly, I stood up with my camera.
There's pictures that we have that looks like she was looking at me. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Because I think you were crying at one point. So she was probably like, oh.
Yeah, she cried. Some random person gave her tissues in the audience.
That's true.
And I was like, wow.
It was
like, she's just such a human. Yeah. Like, and she's such a lovely human, too.
I think that was the most intimate experience that I've had with, like, I don't know, watching, like, quote unquote, a celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, the most intimate concert that I've ever been to.
It was so.
You had to be there. Yeah, you had to be there.
Very nice.
Sometimes I'll just go into, like, deep Instagram where I'll just click on a bunch of different hashtags, maybe like hashtag acting life, hashtag, like, black performer, like, you know, mm-hmm. you know. but her name is, I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Tiana Okoye.
Sandra.
Sure, I guess. but the reason why I became obsessed with her was because it was this beautiful picture that I showed you of her in her wig and her Elsa costume, because she was Elsa at those live Frozen shows at the Hyperion in Disney World or Disneyland, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But you know, like, how Disney will put on, the parks will put on basically the whole movie on stage, but it's like a performance. And she was Elsa, and she's a person of color. And I thought that was the coolest thing that I've ever seen, because Disney? Oh, Disney did that? And Elsa's white as all hell. I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. And she's so talented. So I highly recommend looking her up, because she was also on Hairspray Live as an ensemble member. She was in a chorus line at the Hollywood Bowl. Like, she's insanely talented. But at the end of the day, we really just all need to start normalizing people of color in roles that were not originated by people of color, because it is not okay to consistently make under the breath comments about how Regina George is black or how Elsa is black or Kristoff is black. All we need to do is focus on the craft and the person's talent as a whole. So please educate yourself on what black people and people of color have been dealing with for years, because this isn't new. None of this is new. It's been going on for a very long time. So please do the work and support wherever you can. And Joseph, thank you so much for being on with me and chatting with me about this. And
thanks for having me.
Of course. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll hear you in the next one. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.